Hi everyone, and welcome along to another edition of The Punts. We've got a packed show coming up, including the latest from our Everton and Man United correspondent, Derek McGovern. Robbie Savage tells us how great Pep is, Sam Norris will be crunching some numbers to find the value away from the TV games, and Pete, Gav and Al have naps in the Football League. As always, Dave Kellner and Alex Dunn are on the big matches, and we kick off with Liverpool looking to get back to winning ways on Saturday lunchtime.
Yes, Liverpool have lost three of the last four now, Emma. This is a... It's a crisis for Liverpool, Alex Dunn.
Is it?
Not quite.
I know what you mean, though, because they were pretty invincible. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, we could have a go at them now.
Yeah.
It's not the worst time to play them because they... Well, normally when teams have a little spell like that, you're fearful that you're going to get a spanking off them, basically. But Liverpool haven't annihilated anyone for a while now. It could happen here, though, couldn't it? It could... But it's just nice to talk about Liverpool and not be completely bored senseless.
Yeah.
And just go, yes, they will unquestionably win the game. All of a sudden, it's quite nice to just have a little bit of doubt or maybe give half a chance to whoever they're playing.
Yeah, the bookmakers haven't got any doubt about this one. Liverpool are 1-4 to win the game. They draw 5-1 with Bournemouth in the betting at 11-1. If you fancy Liverpool to win and both teams to score in the match, that's available at 8-5. The draw in that market is 6-1. Bournemouth are 14-1. Liverpool have a sensational record in recent times against Bournemouth. Last five matches, an aggregate score of 17-0 in Liverpool's favour. But you mentioned it's a good time to play them. And I think that's got a lot to do with what's coming up midweek, next midweek for Liverpool, that's clash against Atleti in the Champions League, where they've got to come from behind to qualify for the next stage. I think that will be on Jurgen Klopp's mind, definitely, and some of the players as well.
Thing is, though, now that the unbeaten record's gone in the Premier League, is there not a temptation to... I was surprised that he rested players midweek, personally, because they are going to win the league, whatever happens. Now the unbeaten record's gone, surely you'd been tempted to put your strongest team out against Chelsea and rotate against Bournemouth. But that's not the way that Liverpool have done it all season. The league is the priority, and I can completely understand that. If you'd have offered them this position at the start of the season, they'd have said yes, unquestionably. So
they're protecting another record as well. They've gone 54 games unbeaten in the Premier League, Anfield.
Yeah.
And these records are tumbling at the moment for Liverpool, so they'll be looking to... beat Bournemouth. I think they'll be reasonably strong in terms of the lineup here.
Oh, yeah, unquestionably. The issue for Liverpool, results aside, is that performances have been poor recently, even in games that they've won. Norwich away, they weren't superb. West Ham at home, they had a big scare. It hasn't been plain sailing for them. Thing is, Bournemouth on the road are shocking this season. They won at Chelsea, incredibly. They started the season okay away from home. Apart from those two, or the two at the start and then the Chelsea game, it's been pretty grim. So it would take a leap of faith to back Bournemouth here. They are the kind of side that can spring a surprise from time to time. But I'd say this season they've been a lot less surprising than in other years. They've tried to sort the defence out, and in doing so, their strikers have forgotten how to score. And that's not a great omen when you come up against the Liverpool side, who, last few results aside, have been very strong.
Let's get the bets for this game then. I think Liverpool will get back to winning ways here. And one man that I will be focusing on is Mo Salah, because he's got such a tremendous record against Bournemouth. So I'll go with Salah to score first in the Liverpool win as my bet.
You have to really back him to score first because his anytime price is so short.
Absolutely.
I looked at two or more for Salah as well, but maybe that's stretching it a little bit given that Liverpool haven't been quite as free-flowing recently. I'm going to go for a goal scorer bet as well, but there's one player who just stuck out to me when I was looking at the prices. Mm. Salah is a very short price. Firmino's a short price. Mane's a short price. I'm going to back Genie Wijnaldum anytime.
Okay.
He's a big price. He scores his goals at home when he does score. He scored in this fixture last year. And when you look at the price of some of the other players, he's a little bit too big. He's markedly bigger than the other midfielders who could have a few efforts in the game. So I'll take a chance on him anytime.
Okay, Genie Wijnaldum, the pick for Alex. Now let's get number crunchers with Sam Norris.
There's 5:30pm kickoffs in the Premier League this week and betting opportunities are plenty. We start with a rare Saturday 3pm kickoff for Wolves. They've played more games than any other Premier League team this season but are showing no signs of fatigue and they usually finish games with a flurry. Wolves have picked up 35 points from losing positions since the start of last season, more than any other Premier League team, and have more often than not come alive in the second half. In fact, Wolves have won the second half on 13 different occasions in the Premier League this year, back them to do so again against the Brighton side without a win or a clean sheet in 2020. Watford ended Liverpool's incredible unbeaten streak in some style last weekend, but as we've seen time and time again in sport, it's not always easy to back up a shock win with another good performance. The Hornets have failed to score in a league-high 12 Premier League games this season, so don't expect the goals to flow at Selhurst Park when they take on Crystal Palace. It should be a low-scoring affair, with the first half particularly likely to finish without a goal. Palace have only scored 6 first-half goals this season, but only Liverpool and Sheffield United have conceded fewer than Palace in the first 45. No side have scored fewer home goals than the Eagles this term, and these two played out a bore draw in the reverse fixture. There's never a guarantee when it comes to Arsenal games anymore, but a home meeting against West Ham is as close as you'll get. The Gunners have won 8 of their last 9 home Premier League games against the Hammers and are now the owners of the longest unbeaten streak in the league, which stretches back 7 games. West Ham picked up a big win last week against Southampton, but the manager has never really worked out how to beat Arsenal. David Moyes hasn't won any of his 15 Premier League away games against the Gunners, and no manager in Premier League history has ever gone more away games without a win against an opponent. All the numbers point to an Arsenal win this week.
Next up then, we've got Burnley versus Spurs. Burnley are in the market at 17-10. Spurs are in the market at 17-10. The draw is 9-4. Match result on both teams to score. Burnley 24-5. The draw 3-1. Spurs are 19-5. Full range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app, including those enhanced odds bets available as well. Intriguing fixture this one. Each of two. Burnley unbeaten in their last 6 in the Premier League now. You saw them firsthand last week in that 0-0 draw against Newcastle.
Oh, it was a thriller.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What did you make to that game? And was there anything that stood out from... Maybe you're looking forward to for some bets in future weeks. Is there anything you gleaned from that fixture?
No. Moving on. No, I was amazed at how much time Burnley waste. I think Newcastle were there to be beaten, but Burnley were quite happy to draw. Newcastle had loads of shots, but Burnley never really looked bothered. They defend well, they're well organised, they're well drilled, and they prey on mistakes.
They've only run that I mentioned, they've only conceded 2 goals in that run as well.
By the way, saying that they time waste and they have a certain way of playing is not a criticism, because it's what's got them to where they are.
Yeah.
They are very hard to play against. They're not
it's not good
watch,
to watch, though.
Not an easy watch.
Yeah.
But thing is, in this game, my initial thought was Burnley will Burnley Spurs here, basically.
Yeah.
Because Spurs will make a defensive mistake. They do. Defensively, they're pretty poor. And Burnley are the kind of side that will take advantage of that massively, because they've got players who are relentless. They are relentless in their style of play. It's not great to watch, but Burnley fans don't care, because they, at the end of it all, they get results, and they could well get a result here. I was actually on the train back from the match with some Burnley fans who were quite pleased with how their team played.
Okay.
Now, like I said, it's effective. If you offered them a draw away from home and a chance to win at home in every game, they'll take that. Most teams would. It's effective. And what Spurs are doing at the minute is not effective.
I wonder whether the Spurs board are questioning their appointment of Jose Mourinho at this juncture, because things are not working out for Spurs. They're injury hit as well, obviously. I'm actually looking at the prices here. I quite like Burnley to win to nil, which is 7-2. I think that's fair. Spurs are lacking real firepower at the moment.
Yeah. We'll get to Spurs in a second. The prices are odd, because Arsenal came to Burnley a few weeks ago and they drew, but Arsenal went off odds on in that game.
Yeah.
Now, this as a pick'em seems a little too extreme the other way, but then could you feasibly make Spurs favourite for any game against a half-decent side at the minute? No, I don't think you could. Now, I know you don't like Mourinho. That's well documented. He doesn't like you either. But what would any manager be able to do at Spurs now with the players available?
But he's not any manager, is he? He's the special one, and he's the self-anointed special one. Mm. He's the man that comes to your club as a manager that wins wherever he goes, and that's the reputation he's built down the years. So he's not any other manager. He's Jose Mourinho. He should be doing better.
But with the players that he has at his disposal right now, it is difficult.
Yes, it's
Kane
tough.
And
it's
Son
tough.
Are out. They're the two best players, you could say, for Spurs.
Yeah.
Then you've got Bergwijn, who's come in and been a hit. Will he be fit to start? You've got Lucas Moura, who hasn't been in fantastic form recently. Plenty of other players, and Ndombele's been struggling for fitness. Lamella's in and out.
What's happened with Dele Alli?
Dele Alli's not been in very good form recently. It's not looking great for Spurs at the minute. It's all roads seem to lead to a Burnley win here, but I'm just not taken by the price. And I just know that Spurs, no matter who they play as attackers, because chances are it won't actually be a striker, but you know, whoever it is, Lamella, Lo Celso, Bergwijn, Moura, Alli, whichever combination of those players it is, they will pose a threat. And it'll be different to the threat that Burnley are used to, because there won't be a focal point. The movement could do for Burnley. So I've always got that in the back of my mind.
Okay.
It's a difficult one, and I've tied myself in knots with this game, to be honest, because Burnley seem to be the play. I'm just not taken by the price.
Got to have a bet in this game, though. I'm going with Burnley to win 2-0 here. I think that's the best bet in the match.
I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen, because that's what Burnley are very good at. They defend well, and they are effective at what they do. Spurs, obviously injury hit, out of sorts, but I've just got a feeling that they could get something from this game.
Okay.
I think Burnley are the most likely winners, but at the same time, at that price, they're not really doing it for me. I could see them winning, but I think a draw is probably the way to go here.
Yeah.
I'll take a 1-1 draw as well. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game, but 1-1 for me.
I'll check out the correct score markets for this one then. 1-1 for Alex. Next up, we're going to hear from Derek with his best bet this weekend.
Times have changed. The best time to play Man United used to be when they were distracted by Champions League fixtures. Nowadays, the best time to play them is this season. But have you noticed something? United hardly lose these days, and their record against Big Six rivals is surprisingly impressive. I say surprising because I had no idea United was still a Big Six club. Indeed, already this season they've beaten Manchester City twice. So you'll be heartened to know that A, they're playing Manchester City again this weekend, and B, they're available at 9-2. In Manchester Derby's form often goes out of the window, together with half a dozen flat screen tellies, and there's no way United should be quoted at 9-2. But don't quote me on that. Those odds are on the generous side of lumpy, just like my physique. Chelsea, who can't string together two good results, this weekend host Everton, who, until Carlo Ancelotti arrived, couldn't string together one. I guess that's why we call them the Blues. Chelsea went to pieces recently against Bayern Munich, but that wasn't surprising. Since their transfer ban, buying anything has been beyond them. Everton still have designs on a European spot, and that tells us one thing. They need to get a new designer. But there ain't much to choose between these two teams, and at 10-3, the Merseymen are worth my nap selection. That'll stop their good run.
Derek's best bet then, Everton. Let's talk about this game, Chelsea versus Everton. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Chelsea 5-6 to win the game, odds on. The draw is 27-10 with Everton 100-30. I can understand why Derek's plumped for Everton again this weekend. Even though they've got a dismal record away at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League, 24 visits to Stamford Bridge without a win for Everton in the Premier League. They'll see this as an opportunity, even though Chelsea bounced back midweek with that good result against Liverpool, and Billy Gilmore's now the saviour of English football.
Well, he's Scottish, for starters. So
I meant Scottish football.
No, he'll be playing in England for a while. But oh, I shouldn't have told you that. We could have had a whole campaign to get him in the England squad. What I do bear in mind in this game, you mentioned Everton's record at Stamford Bridge. It is, like, horrible. And I know a lot of people go, yeah, but it's different teams now and everything's changed. But it's always a factor. It is. And I'm wary of that. Chelsea, though, at home, we've said this season, they're really hard to get right. I think going into this game week, there's only five teams have lost more games at home in the Premier League this season than Chelsea. So they are there to be got at.
Yeah, they've only won twice in the calendar year in the Premier League as well.
Yeah.
Chelsea. I'm never going to live down that.
Don't worry about it. I've forgotten about it already. I haven't, by the way.
There's a couple of goal scorer bets that you might be having a look at here. Olivier Giroud's back in from the cold, isn't he? He's 130 to score first in the game. I've got to mention my man, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
Scored first last weekend, albeit David De Gea contributed to that.
Yes.
7-2 he is to score first in the game. So a couple of goal scorers for either side that you could be looking at. I must admit, I don't mind that price on Everton.
No, I couldn't back it purely because of that record.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing that really it does boil down to. The reverse fixture was televised as well. We previewed the game. And it was Duncan Ferguson was in charge at the time. And we mentioned Richarlison was a guy that he could get the best out of. Now, since then, Richarlison's been excellent. Mm. He scored in that game. So did Calvert-Lewin, and he's been excellent too. That was almost a turning point for Everton. And those two have basically carried Everton through what was a sticky period and now into, you know, they're comfortable now, which didn't look likely at certain points early on in the season. Ancelotti's done a great job there. They're so hard to beat. It does make it a tricky game. The question is, do you trust Chelsea at odds on? Well, they're a team I've really struggled with in recent weeks because when I've sided with them, they've looked awful. Then when I've tried to take them on, they've looked half decent. So it is difficult. Everton are really solid. And like you said, if you are looking for Everton at that price...
You wouldn't put people off.
I couldn't put you off, but the record at Stamford Bridge is a cause for concern. So maybe Everton draw no bet, something like that. If you were of looking that way, I think that could be the way to go. Personally, I'm going to give Chelsea one more chance, I think. But I've got time for Everton.
I'm going for over 3.5 goals in this match. Since Ancelotti took over, Everton have scored in every single Premier League game. They've also conceded in their last 13 away Premier League matches. So I think we get goals in this. I think it's going to be entertaining. I'm going for over 3.5 goals in the match.
Similar school of thought. I do think we'll see entertainment. I looked at Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. They both scored in the reverse fixture. But they're fairly short to score in this game. So I'm going to go with Chelsea and both teams to score. You mentioned the fact that Everton... do pose a threat going forward now, but defensively that is a big cause for concern as far as I'm concerned. And I just think Chelsea will see them off here. Similar to the Everton game away at Arsenal a few weeks back, I think we'll see entertainment, but with the home team narrowly coming out on top. So Chelsea and both teams to score.
Very good, Chelsea and both teams to score. We're going to talk about the Manchester derby next, and Robbie Savage is here with his thoughts on how Pep Guardiola's changed English football. Let's hear from Robbie.
No manager has impacted the Premier League like the genius that is Pep Guardiola. 8 out of the last 9 domestic trophies after the Carabao Cup win. Record-breaking seasons. The season they got 100 points, 106 goals, most away points, 50. That might be beaten by Liverpool, but still, that's a record. The brand of football, the style of football. How many teams have we seen play out from the back? The goalkeeper doing Cruyff turns in the 6-yard box, little triangles, brave under pressure. And that style transcends all the way through the leagues into the Championship, the lower leagues, non-league and grassroots football. I have my team playing like that, making the youngsters get on the ball, bravery, playing out. I don't see keepers kick the ball hardly ever now. They all play out, and that's down to Pep's style of football. What a manager, what a team. Okay, he hasn't progressed past the quarter-final with City in the Champions League, but you know what? This is the season I think Pep and City will win the Champions League as well.
I think Robbie Savage has got a bit of a man crush on Pep Guardiola. Do you agree with him? Has he changed the style of English football?
Hey, Robbie? No, not for the better. He has, Pep. He has.
Yeah.
But
are we lucky to have him managing in the Premier League?
I don't feel particularly blessed to... I suppose. It's nice that he's been there for a while.
Yeah.
I hope he sticks around for a bit. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on the guy.
Right, okay.
I think anyone with the money that City spend,
expects attractive football.
Yeah,
yeah.
You've got to play. But
Robbie was saying there how it's influenced. He's managing a team. Of youngsters, and he says that in the past you've had goalkeepers and their first thought has been, let's launch this as far forward as possible. And now even at that level, goalkeepers are playing out from the back and that's their first consideration. That's because of Guardiola, according to Robbie.
Yeah, I can see that. But that also, when you see it at a lower level, sometimes causes absolutely calamitous consequences because you've got players who aren't capable of doing it, trying to do it. But no, there's no doubt that you'd rather watch your team have loads of possession and win that way. but it's not always the most effective. City have managed to just have such a stranglehold of possession in their games, makes it quite hard for teams to actually have a go at them. We saw that with Sheffield Wednesday midweek. They didn't really land a glove on City, despite the fact they'd only finished 1-0. You'd be forgiven for thinking that was a good away performance where they've just grafted. They were incredibly comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, I don't mind Pep. I just...
Yeah. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this game. Manchester Derby. Looking forward to this. Manchester United are 17-4 to win the match. The draw 16-5. Manchester City 6-10. If you fancy both teams to score in the game, yes is 7-10. No is in the betting at 21-20. Wide range of markets as usual on the William Hill website and on the app. And don't forget, you can build a your odds bet as well. We always talk, because this is a betting show, we talk about the betting and likely goal scorers. I want to talk about the other side of things, first of all, and goalkeepers here. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that he'll be given the elbow, David De Gea, because he made that big blunder last week, and no player has made more errors leading to goals than David De Gea since the start of last season. Is there a possibility Manchester United might decide this summer is the summer to cash in?
Maybe. Maybe. He's not been as good.
And will they get the cash they want for him?
Not as much now as they would have got a few years ago.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's funny, we've been talking about playing out from the back and goalkeepers shouldn't mess around, and to be fair, it wasn't playing out from the back.
No, but Roy Keane suggested, I mean, Roy Keane is the most opinionated pundit on TV, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he suggested there was I think he intimated David De Gea was blurring the lines between confidence and arrogance.
No, I just think he should have kicked it earlier.
Yeah.
He, when you watch it back, you just think that's so preventable. But at the same time, Calvert-Lewin's done well to close him down, and it happens every now and again.
Yeah.
But he won't do it again anytime soon anyway, you'd hope. I still think he's an incredibly good shot stopper. But yeah, he does make mistakes from time to time. A lot of goalies do, but he's made one too many for comfort recently, and that will be a cause for concern.
As far as the market's concerned here, I think City are still being priced up on what they did last season in the Premier League rather than what's happening this season. They looked wholly unconvincing in that Carabao Cup final, I thought, and again midweek against Sheffield Wednesday. Won that game, and I mean, they were comfortable for the majority of the match, but there was an opportunity for Sheffield Wednesday to equalise late on in the game. And that's what concerns me with City. They're not putting teams away like they did last year.
No, true. That Sheffield Wednesday game could have feasibly been 5 or 6-0 if they'd have taken chances. It's tricky, this one, because I agree, City are too short to trust.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they can't win. I think they possibly could, but they're way too short to trust. Interestingly, recent games between the pair, and there have been a fair few, obviously, they met in the Cup, the League Cup, that is, a couple of times. It's the away side that has been fairly dominant in recent games. And I think that's because they've been able to counter-attack. That, particularly when Manchester United are at home, that there's almost a trust that they will have a go. And City will go, great, go on then, because we'll outscore you.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's at the Etihad, United are quite happy to sit deep and then...
It suits them, doesn't it?
Completely.
Yeah.
No, Marcus Rashford is a concern because he normally plays well against City. He is a threat with his pace. And you look at City's defence at the minute, you think, oh, you just want someone to stretch them. So that's a cause for concern. But result-wise, I just think City are way too short in the betting to consider. So I think you'd probably have to look at something pro United, or maybe a City and both teams to score, something like that.
I'd be actually looking at a goal scorer here. If he starts, I think Riyad Mahrez. I mean, he must have broken the record for shots on target without scoring midweek. He's 19-10 to score any time, which I think is a fair enough price considering City are 6-10 to win the match. But obviously team news is going to be all important here. But I'd be looking at maybe a City goal scorer with Mahrez.
Possibly. Does Pep trust him 100%? He trusts him enough to start big games against weaker teams.
Yeah, I think more than he has done in the past 6 months now.
I think his hand has been forced to some extent.
Yeah, he's quite greedy, isn't he, Mahrez?
He is. He's a bit of a maverick. I think he's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
But we saw last season that the go-to was Bernardo Silva in that position. Sterling the other side, Aguero up front, and a solid three in the middle. It's been a bit different this season. Bernardo's not been as good. Mahrez has been, he's had a great season, don't get me wrong. I just always question, will Pep trust him enough? Probably will, but just wait for team news if you are looking for goal scorer bets.
One of the bets in this game, David De Gea is going to be tested by Manchester City. They look too short, though, to me, at odds on. So I'm going to go with... I'm actually going to go with United plus one on the handicap market in this match. Your fancy?
I think as a price play, it has to be something pro-United unless you are going to go for something quite adventurous with City.
Yeah.
Because they're just really short. The away side often does do well in the Manchester derby or has done recently. That is something pro-City. But... Mm. The bet for me is Bruno Fernandes to score. He's not let me down yet since I've started putting him up. And he's just a threat. He'll shoot from anywhere. He takes penalties. The goal against Everton, yes, Pickford should have saved it. But nevertheless, he's shooting. He's getting into positions. Yeah, yeah. He causes a threat. And City defensively look vulnerable. So he's a fair price as far as I'm concerned. Mm. He's a player I really like. And at the minute, he's not doing much wrong. So Fernandes anytime.
Should be a good one. We're looking forward to the Manchester derby here with William Hill. Bruno Fernandes. The bet for Alex.
We're going to hear more from DK and Alex in a minute, but first, remember, if you're putting an acca together on the weekend's action, you'll want to use your Bet Boost. All you have to do is log into your account, put your picks in your bet slip. If there are three or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger. Good luck! Now, it's on to Monday Night Football as Leicester host Aston Villa. And back to DK and Alex.
Thank you, Emma. We finished the Premier League weekend with Monday Night Football, Leicester City taking on Aston Villa. Leicester are 4-11 to win the game. That looks short, doesn't it? Mm. The draw 4-1 with Aston Villa 15-2. Both teams to score yes is 4-5, no is 10-11. Without Jamie Vardy firing, Leicester City is struggling to score goals. They did get one midweek and that was enough. Ricardo Pereira on the score sheet. Prior to that, they'd failed to score in three successive matches. They are going up against a Villa side that have lost four straight now. So I can understand why they're odds on, but 4-11.
Yeah.
No one's backing Leicester City at 4-11.
Well, people will.
Do you think so?
Yeah. And they may win.
Yeah.
But
there's been a lot of shrugs on this show today.
It's just how I'm feeling. But I just don't trust Villa. This is the thing. They played quite well in the cup final. They put up a good show, but now you've got to raise them again get out of the situation that they're in at the bottom of the table, and that is difficult. This is a difficult game, but the fact that they've played Leicester so much recently will probably play into Villa's hands.
And they've beaten them as well.
Yeah, they have. Leicester are not convincing at all at the minute.
No.
The game against Norwich last Friday night was a game that really they should have won, but they just don't do enough at the minute. Honestly, I've been really, really disappointed with Leicester in the last 6 weeks, 2 months, because they've gone from being... And I know that when people say this, I always think there's got to be someone out there that hates them. But they were sort of everyone's second team, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because they were playing good football and scoring goals and playing attractively. And now you're sort of going, what are they doing at the minute? They're not the same. So when they're that short, alarm bells are ringing.
This is the sort of price I would expect Leicester to be if they were flourishing at the moment.
Yes, agreed.
And winning games convincingly and Jamie Vardy was scoring plenty of goals. I think they'd be 4-11 in that scenario.
What price would they be
they're not playing well?
If this was the first day of the season? They'd be odds on, probably. Only just.
Yeah,
maybe 4-6, something like that.
Yeah, not this short.
No. And on recent form, it's really hard to recommend them at that price. So you've got to look elsewhere. Okay, are we siding with Villa? No, I don't think you can either, to be honest with you. Jack Grealish, we always talk about when we preview Villa games. I think he's 3-1 to score any time.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's not outstanding. Leicester's games recently have been really low on goals. So that could be a play here because I know Villa ship a lot and you've almost got two different styles here. Leicester will maybe try and keep it fairly contained. But then at the same time, if Leicester build up ahead of steam, they could score a few against Villa.
Under 2.5 goals is 11-8, by the way.
I was surprised at how it was priced up, given that that would have landed in most of Leicester's recent games. So that's a difficult one. It's a difficult game to get a handle on, to be honest with you. One thing that I will play on is Villa's inability to defend well.
Yeah.
That is key in this game. And particularly from set pieces and the like, I can see Leicester having some joy.
Okay. Let's get the bets for the match. I don't like this price on Leicester at all. I've got a side with something pro-Aston Villa. I'm going to go Aston Villa draw no better, a very, very tasty price.
Yeah, Leicester are too short to side with. So if you are looking for a bet, I'm going to hedge my bets on the game. In recent Villa games, they have conceded from set pieces. Alderweireld scored against them. Nathan Ake, we saw Rodri in the cup final last weekend score.
Yeah.
And in recent head-to-heads between the pair, a lot of defenders have scored as well. Granted, not from set pieces, but Target, Gilbert, Johnny Evans scored in the league game at Villa Park. So trends-wise, I'm quite happy to side with defenders here. Mm. So I'm going to play Johnny Evans and I'm going to play Soyuncu as well. I'm going to back both of them anytime here, both at quite appealing prices. And I think that'll be a good interest bet in the game. Villa, defensively, don't convince. So I'll take the two Leicester centre-halves to try and cause a bit of trouble at the other end.
Very interesting. That's Leicester City versus Aston Villa. Now, we're going to get to the Naps in a few moments' time. It wasn't pretty last week. Let's hope for better success this week. And we'll start off with Pete Farries and his pick in the Championship.
This week's Nap is Preston at 21-20. They're taking on a QPR side who've won just once away from home since October, and a side who away from home don't score no goals in their last three away games. While Preston's home form and general form has been a little bit spotty, they are still in the playoffs, and they're a side who've lost just four times at home this season. Preston's goals should be too much to defeat a QPR side who have improved, but I think away from home are absolutely gettable. Preston 21-20, the Nap of the Week.
Rotherham United away at Rochdale. Rotherham looking to return to the top of League One against a Rochdale side who are just outside the relegation zone but look like they've got a big enough gap to stay up. So Rochdale, you could argue, have nothing to play for. Rotherham United 4-7, that's okay, but we can do better. With Rotherham, you always go for goals. The last six meetings between these two sides, the away side have won all of them. So I'm going for Rotherham in this one, but both teams to score, 11-5, my Nap.
Bluntly, Crewe should be in your acca this weekend. 1-2, not a bad price for a side who've won all seven home league games since Christmas by an aggregate score of 16-4. And with the most prolific strike force in the division, are welcoming a side 8 points adrift at the bottom of the table. That's Stevenage, who are on an 8-match losing streak, conceding 13 goals in their last five away. And Crewe, a better side. When these two met in December at Stevenage, Crewe won 5-1. So take the Crewe 1-2, push it out with a handicap, Crewe minus 1.5.
Just before we talk about this week's Naps then, something I missed earlier on in the programme that I wanted to speak about is everyone talking about Jordan Henderson and how Liverpool are struggling without him. We've got betting for PFA Player of the Year, and I think Henderson's absolutely stick on for this now. 7-4, joint favourite with Sadio Mane. Kevin De Bruyne 9-2, Virgil van Dijk 9-2. Trent is in the betting at 14-1, 33s and bigger the rest. I think just there'll be a groundswell of support for Henderson in this market. I think 7-4 is a magnificent price.
The fact that Liverpool have come unstuck without him can only be strengthening that case.
Yeah.
And the fact that everyone's talking about it is surely a bonus, because I know players are voting for it, but if any players are on Twitter and they see it mentioned, it'll plant the seed in their mind of, oh, well, I'll probably vote for him then. No, I'm less confident than you are, less bullish.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he should be favourite. And 7-4 seems fair enough.
Yeah, he should be clear favourite in that market. Anyway, this week, we all lost last week. I think that's the first time that's happened this season.
Welcome to my club.
Yeah.
Because I've been making a habit of it.
But you're trying to get it all back in one fell swoop this weekend.
Pretty much.
Aren't you?
So, he's 12-1 to score any time, Valentino Lozano.
You went to the match midweek.
I went to the Hawthorns and I backed him then.
That's why you've come up with this bet.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
He won me a bit of cash midweek because he's priced up as a defender still.
Yeah.
He came to Newcastle and everyone thought he'd be playing right wing back. He still may in time, but with Newcastle changing system, he's been pushed further forward and he causes problems. And when you look at Sam Maximan and Almiron and the prices that they are, and Lozano is priced up as a right back, he's too big. So Newcastle got to Southampton, where Southampton are a bit short in the betting, I think. They're obviously justified to be favourites, but maybe a little short. But Southampton let goals in. And Lozano at 12-1 any time.
Yeah, it's a big old price.
You've got to have a look. That's assuming he starts, because he's yet to start in the league. He was suspended against Burnley. But I do think he will start. And if he does, 12-1 is too big any time.
Very good. I'm going with Norwich to win at Sheffield United. I know midweek was officially a draw, but they came through in the end. Tim Krul, the hero. They beat Leicester last weekend. And I like Norwich at 24-5 to go to Sheffield United and win. I keep opposing Sheffield United, and they keep performing well.
Hey, David McGoldrick scored in the week.
Did.
That's good. Hey, and who scored last week? Serge Aurier. If you'd have accidentally listened to a podcast from about 2 months ago, you'd have been quizzing. No, I put the Aurier project up, didn't I?
Yeah,
and
you did.
I think you'd have probably lost money on it, but eventually we've got
something back. Yeah.
Eventually. And who knows, with Spurs in the pickle they are at the minute, they may as well play him further forward.
Yeah.
But
so Norwich to win at 24-5, a sporting bet.
It's quite a nice price.
Bournemouth let me down at a very similar price last week with that late Alonso equaliser. So I'm going with Norwich to win at 24-5. Alex, have enjoyed this today.
Yes, thank you. So much so that I won't be back next week.
No, neither will I.
No.
It will be a completely different team next week with Cheltenham taking centre stage. I know a lot of people out there will be watching the Cheltenham Festival 2020 as well. Alex, thank you for your company.
Cheers.
Thank you everyone that's watched the punt, or if you listened to audioboom.com, check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And the punt will be back in some shape or form next week.